Good morning. Welcome to The Morning Show on WRCO Radio. I'm Ron Fruitt. Today, it's our privilege to continue our relationship with the Richland Medical Center and provide important information for the community. And we're pleased to do that today with Dr. Andrew Wright, who is a family practice physician at the Richland Medical Center. We also welcome Paul Smith to our program today. Paul is a professor in the Department of Family Medicine at the University of Wisconsin in Madison and is the associate director of RIN. We're going to explain what that is, why it's important, and what role it's playing in our community. To both of you, it's great to have you in our studios today. Andy, I think about just the different topics we've talked about. You know, certainly this is different. As I mentioned before we started the program, it's a lot different than flu shots and concussions, but it's equally important in terms of your efforts to make our community healthy and to make us well-informed.
Ron, that's right. This is more of a big-picture approach. REN is the Wisconsin Research and Education Network, and I think it's been about 2 years ago we were approached. Carl, our administrator, was approached to see if we wanted to be a part of this network. And I guess today I really want to highlight how that's a very positive thing for Richland Center, for the medical community at large in our area. I had known about research networks since residency. The basic idea is that because we have many patients spread out in different areas in terms of rural medicine, it's hard for one medical center to get a good idea of a research question we have. For example, the research, one of the projects we're involved in right now is better management of chronic kidney disease, which is a common ailment and will afflict probably 40%, if not more, of us throughout our lives. So we need to know how to manage it and how to keep people from dialysis and kidney transplant. But here in Richland Center, we only have several thousand people, whereas if you pool the resources of our clinic with many other clinics through a group like REN, a network, then we get answers. We get answers that are important about what's the best way to treat these patients and what's the best way to monitor them to make sure that they stay healthy.
Is RIN in some ways a key to the best of both worlds for those who want an intimate relationship with their doctor in a facility where everyone knows their name, but still having access to the information that allows you to benefit from what others are learning?
I think you've hit on the key benefit, which is, you're exactly right. We have then the knowledge of academia in a very personal down-home setting. And to me, that is what medicine is supposed to be. You think back even two generations, we would just kind of guess, right? Well, let's use penicillin for everything because it seems to work. Oops, now we have a lot of antibiotic resistance. And now we're in an age where we manage antibiotics with a sense of stewardship. Why? Because we have research that says use it for a real infection, and then that's going to better serve patients who need it later on. We didn't know the answer to that until research happened. And then how do you get that information to the rural practitioner? How does the rural practitioner stay current? And this is one great way to do that. And I have to confess, it allows also, for a selfish reason, someone like me who really enjoys academic medicine to get that benefit while practicing in a rural community.
But doesn't it make you feel like you're a contributor with what you're learning and what your patients are helping you learn, that you're actually contributing to the overall well-being of the entire, be it state or country or world?
Yes. So I really want to thank Paul for bringing that to us. And then I also try to extend that to each of the patients who participate. The other study we're involved in is improving care to patients 65 and older. And when I introduce the survey portion that they're to fill out, I say, thank you for doing this. This is a way for us to improve your care. And I'm very glad. I feel like it's a gift when they participate. But at the same time, it's something that will benefit them. And as you mentioned, Ron, in off the air, it's going to benefit their children, their grandchildren, and really get people the care they need.
Paul, it's great to have you in the studio. Welcome to the program today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, what brings you to the University of Wisconsin, in particular, what makes you excited about the REN project?
Well, I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, went to college in Indiana, so I'm from the Midwest, and grew up there. I went to Maine to do my residency. I'm a family physician as well, and came back and practiced in Syracuse, New York for almost 10 years, just doing a full range of family medicine, delivering babies and all the things that Andy does. But when I was there, they were involved in practice-based research with a national network at the time. And so I got involved in that and got interested as like Andy is, the practitioner in the field who's just seeing, you know, doing patient care, but wanted to kind of do something a little extra, a little different. And that sort of got me going on the value of that and the value to my patients, and but also that sort of professional doing something extra, giving back, contributing to medical knowledge in some way, in a way, in a small way, but a meaningful way. I decided to take a different turn in my career and was interested in education of residents, of doctors who were in training after medical school and for family medicine, and looked around for a position and wanted to be a little bit closer to home and where my in-laws were, and found the University of Wisconsin and went to a small town called Belleville where they have a residency mm-hmm. site, and it's there's about 1,200 people there, and I like that small town atmosphere but being near a big city and the advantages of that as well, and being part of the university system. And when I got here, Wren already existed. We were actually going to celebrate our 25th anniversary this year, and I've been in Madison area for a little more than 16 years. So I've been along the way as Wren has grown and prospered, and you know, and here we are.
Is there ever a time when you've wanted to go back from the classroom to the exam room?
Well, I still do some patient care. It's gotten harder. Wren has grown a lot in terms of the number of projects that we do and the complexity of the projects that we do. Since I became director a little more than 5 years ago, we've really grown a lot. And so it's kind of overwhelmed my clinical practice to the point where it really wasn't fair to my patients. I was only one day a week in Belleville, and they couldn't see me, and I couldn't see them. And that was not a good way to provide care, I thought. And so I still do a little bit of patient care one day a week. I float. So I move around from clinic to clinic, helping out where they're short-staffed or somebody's on vacation or out with a new baby or something like that. And the downside is I don't get to know my patients very well, but I still get to help people out and at the clinic as well as the patients that I see. And it also lets me visit clinics around the Dane County area that I would never get to meet the staff, and makes it easier to work with them for projects if we want to do something that might benefit their clinic.
You were pleased to bring the Richland Medical Center into this program too, weren't you?
Oh yeah, it was a deliberate effort, actually. They were already involved in helping educate our residents, the family medicine residents, do a rotation out here, and I was aware of that. And in fact, maybe before I knew Andy anyway, we implemented an electronic health record at Belleville. I led that effort back in 2000, and we used the same software that Richland Center has been using called Practice Partner. And so we came out here and talked with them about how they did it and what they learned and what we could learn from them and that sort of thing. And that was my first contact with Richland Center and the folks here, and they were very helpful to us. And so when we were expanding as some of these new projects came along and some additional funding to allow us to expand and do more complex projects, I thought of Richland Center as one of the places what we might want to work with. And the opportunity came up and we approached them and talked to Andy and talked to Carl. And I guess, as you might say, the rest is history. Here we are.
Is practice-based research just what it sounds like, you know, when we look at it from a lay perspective and we think, okay, these physicians are learning as they go and using what they're gaining in knowledge as they treat patients to, you know, share and build a big database?
Well, it's the kind of projects we do are sort of all over the board. So it's a whole variety of different kinds of things, but the what's uniform about it, what's the same about all of them, it's done in the practices. The research is there. It's not in a laboratory. It's not at a university academic medical center. You know, I mean, we need academic medical centers, and wonderful research comes out of that. But the kind of folks that go to those kind of places are referred typically from surrounding areas, or you know, the University of Wisconsin and the UW Hospital do amazing things. But the kind of patients they see there are not the same as the general population. They tend to be sicker. They've had to travel to get there. It's obviously not in a rural area, so the issues that about you know distance and things like that are not there. And so, unfortunately, a lot of the research that is done in the United States is done in academic medical centers. And so part of what practice-based research is all about is trying to work in what some people would say the real world, the rest of the practices and the practice situations that are more common around the country, where academic medical centers might see 1 out of 100 people in the country. Family medicine and primary care are seeing a much larger proportion in those practices day to day. And so we feel like that's the population we should be trying to do research with, to learn about what's the best way to provide care for them. And sometimes the projects are, more, we know what to do, but we're not sure how to do it the best or most effectively in a practice environment. It's hard to change human behavior, and that includes human behavior of doctors and human behavior of nurses and staff. They're used to doing things in a certain way, and then new information comes along. We know we should, people with chronic kidney disease should be on a particular kind of medication because it slows the progress of the disease. But if you're not paying attention to that, and every person that has the diagnosis, you know, you're aware of it, and someone says, oh, this person should be on this medicine, and you get it started. If you're not systematic about that in some way, then people are not necessarily getting the ideal care. And then there's other things that we do where we're really trying to create new knowledge, and that's where the other project that we're working on that has to do with the care of the elderly, there's sort of a certain process of care of how patients call, make an appointment, come in, tell the nurse about why they're there that day, and then talk with the doctor about it. And what we're working with some folks in the School of Systems and Industrial Engineering at the University of Wisconsin are very interested in systems of healthcare and how can you look at those processes with a different point of view. Engineers think about things very differently than doctors do. And work with them to see, is there a way that we could do it differently and do a better job? Make it easier for the doctor, make it less stressful for the doctor, and provide better care for the patients. And that is, in fact, some of the goals of the what we're trying to do with the Improving the Care of the Elderly project. So we're in the middle of that one, and that's going well, and we don't have answers about is what we're trying working well, but we're going to find out.
Doctors Paul Smith and Andrew Wright are our guests on the morning show today on WRCO Radio. Andy, of course, from the Richland Medical Center, and Paul is the associate director and former director of RIN. As we've talked about, the opportunity to share the ideas. Andy, I think about, your practice here, and we think about, kidney disease. I mean, I would assume that some practitioners in a rural area might be extraordinarily busy, but just by the way statistics work, might never encounter some of the issues that RIN would like to know about, or you would encounter them on a very irregular basis. Does that make RIN then a good source of support or information for you to provide better patient care?
So actually, I think we encounter the issues. We may not recognize the issues that we should be dealing with. And so RIN provides a reminder of just what level of care we're to provide. I was just thinking of the analogies when Paul was talking. When you have an airline pilot, you have a combination of artistry and science, and you have rote procedures that every pilot runs through. You would not want to get on a plane with a pilot who said, let's skip the checklist today. I'm feeling pretty good. Let's go up and let's fly to Florida and see how it goes. And so,
literally flying by the seat of your pants.
Exactly. Exactly. So the same is true in medicine. You never want to take away the personal aspect, the tailoring to that patient. It's just, the almost sacredness of the patient physician healer relationship that never gets interfered with. But at the same time, we don't want to be in a situation where we're missing obvious things that need help. It would probably surprise me, many of us, to know that if I were to say to you, which is a larger, which predicts heart disease the best? Is it diabetes? Is it hypertension? Is it obesity? Or is it chronic kidney disease? And some people might say hypertension. Some might say diabetes. The truth is it's chronic kidney disease. Now, chronic kidney disease happens in the context of diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity. But if we're not focusing on what may be, and we don't know this yet, research hasn't told us which is first, the chicken or the egg. If we don't focus on helping that, then we may not reduce heart disease the way we need to. Nationally, internationally, there's a trend towards patient safety. And so I think as physicians, we have to change our mindset to incorporate the checklist into the artistry we provide the patient, and that'll lead to better care.
How then does RIN work with you in your everyday practice then, Andy? Is it like the F1 help key, you know?
I'll give you a very practical example of how I got involved in the chronic kidney disease study. And I'll be honest with you, doing research is a sacrifice, especially if you're in a private, busy clinic. The sacrifice is time. And my philosophy in doing medicine is patients, people pay good money to have access to their physicians. My job is to be available, to be knowledgeable, and to be a healer. So you, on the front end, it looks like you're compromising some of that time with your patients. But what happens is they say, okay, I'm going to be part of the chronic kidney disease study. Okay, I get information via email. I want you to check these parameters. I want you to check their creatinine, see what their, what we call GFR is, glomerular filtration rate. In short, how good are their kidneys working? And then I want you to check these other parameters. Okay, fine, I can do that. I want you to keep track of all that, and the electronic medical record will help you to keep track of it. But then I want you to meet initially every 2 weeks at lunch to go over these results, and I'm going to badger you to improve your results. Now,
that's a Wisconsin concept with RIN to badger.
Correct. Yeah. I think in other states they might do something else. They might have a long-tailed swallow in Oklahoma, but here it's badgers. So at first, it makes you grumble. I think the same may happen for the patient when I say, hey, can you fill out this survey? But I must tell you, the persons that I've asked have been so generous. And so to move on, then you get these results and you say, well, geez, you know, is this working or not? And then 3 months later, you've built something that says, hey, we're monitoring these patients. Hey, here's the improvement in the rate of those on the proper medicine, which in this case is either an ACE inhibitor or an ARB. Now the big payoff, of course, is going to be helping them live healthier, happier, and probably longer lives. And we don't have those answers yet, but we suspect, you know, that's why we're moving in this direction.
It seems to me that patients could become very excited the more we understand about the opportunities that exist and realize that we are a part of the solution, which may solve our own problem. It is really inspiring.
It is. It is. And I think doing research trains you to never take a patient's question for granted either, because it puts you in a mindset of asking questions. So it is exciting. And I think it allows us then to really pay attention to what's going on with that person we're seeing in the office.
We're going to take a break on the program today. Doctors Andrew Wright and Paul Smith are our guests. Hope you're enjoying our conversation today, and we thank the Richland Medical Center for the privilege of having Andy and Paul here. We'll continue in just a moment. Welcome back to our morning show visit on WRCO Radio this morning. We're pleased to welcome Dr. Paul Smith to our program today. Dr. Smith is a professor in the Department of Family Medicine at the University of Wisconsin and currently serves as the Associate Director of RIN, which is, we've talked about, a research effort in our state. And Dr. Andrew Wright is with us today. Andy, of course, is a family practice physician at the Richland Medical Center. We've talked, Paul, about a couple of the projects that the Richland Medical Center is in. How does RIN determine what the most suitable projects are for this practice-based research?
That's a great question, because there's so many different kinds of research that one might do, or where you could spend your time when the doctors that we work with have very limited time. So how do we decide? And a couple ways. There's sort of a process, and then the topics and that sort of thing. The process is that I talk with researchers who are interested perhaps in working with us and what their idea is. if it looks like something that we might move forward, then Wren has a steering committee that is composed of four clinicians that are in practices around the state, and then representatives from my department as well. Andy is one of our representatives on the steering committee, and so they talk about it, and is this something that fits with Wren's mission and that sort of thing, and say, yeah, we think this is something that should move forward or not. Since I mentioned the mission, the mission really of Wren, and it has been since the very beginning, is to improve the health of the people of Wisconsin, and we do that through education. That's the E in Wren, the Wisconsin Research and Education Network, through education of doctors as well as of patients, and then doing research with the clinicians in Wisconsin in primary care practices and the communities that they serve. So it's a collaboration between us and the clinicians in the practices and the communities that they serve. So when we really, ultimately what we do should advance that mission. And so when I'm talking to researchers, is it something that Wren has this sort of tool set? We have relationships with doctors and practices, and the doctors have relationships with their patients scattered all around Wisconsin. And is this project something that makes sense to do in that kind of an environment or not? And so there's that consideration. And then what's the topic? And is it something that we could see in the reasonably near future could have an impact to improve patient care? And so if it's something that there's an immediate impact, like this chronic kidney disease project that we're doing, we're making a difference in the lives of patients today as a result of the folks that Andy and his staff out at the Muscadet Clinic working on this project. Or is it something that, it could be next year or 2 years or 3 years down the road, but we could see that there's going to be some benefit for patients and or doctors, or both, in the fairly near future. We're much less interested in doing a project where, it might help 15 years down the road or 20 years down the road. There's so many more urgent things that we need to work on today, that someone else can do that. That doesn't make sense for us necessarily to do that. There's not as much benefit to the clinicians and the doctors that are participating and their patients as well. So it's more about that and less about, well, what's the disease of the month or whatever. We look at what are common conditions that family physicians see. And the more common it is, the more interest is that there's going to be with the clinicians, the more patients that we can potentially benefit. And so things like diabetes care, hypertension care, turns out chronic kidney disease is really common when you start looking at it. And so it's those sorts of things that we take into account as we think about what project do we want to put our limited time and energy to do.
It's interesting, and I don't know if I can, ask this question, and get it across the way I'd like to, Andy, but today your patients can go to a search engine and read all kinds of things about all different sorts of medical circumstances, and some of it probably is a whole lot better research than others. It seems in a society where we are just almost in an avalanche of information, having good information that is derived from families that are my neighbors, my own family, from my own doctors, seems to me to be the one that I would most desire out of this mountain of other information that I have to sort through.
Absolutely. Ron, that's well put. And that's, I'll give you another example. I see that as one of our primary roles now, because most people are going to be information savvy in the general sense, but not all of us are going to be good information savvy. A good example is a recent, and this would be this also illustrates the difference between research done in an academic center versus in the real world. Recent study called AIM-HI, AIM-HI, which studied a form of niacin, a long-acting form of niacin, in a very specific group of patients. These were more men than women, about 60s, who all had their bad cholesterol controlled, LDL. And we were wondering if adding niacin, long-acting niacin, to that by increasing their good cholesterol and lowering the fat in their blood, the triglycerides, would help them or not. In this ideal research setting, actually the patients who got the niacin had a trend towards more strokes. Okay, so the study was stopped early. Then you get your patient in the office, comes and sees you and says, I've been reading this and I got to stop my niacin. But then you look deeper. Well, that patient's fat in their blood, their triglycerides was really, really high. And guess what? Their LDL is not controlled. So then it's my job to say, that patient in the study was not you. You may still be getting a benefit from their niacin, or the converse. You know, you're right. Your LDL is controlled. What am I doing trying to bring up your good cholesterol and try to lower your triglycerides a little bit? Let's stop that medicine. So the real world, then I see myself as sort of a filter and a guide to help people seek out good medical information. How does REN play a role in that? Well, we're working in a situation where we have that, what we would call mixed population of people with all different health needs. And so we are asking questions and trying to answer questions that are going to serve the needs of real people as opposed to an ideal study group.
Paul, oftentimes we talk in our community, and maybe other communities are the same, but it's like, it seems like we have more cancer than our share, or we have more, you know, heart problems than our share. Does REN give us an opportunity to have geographical, statistical information about what may happen in the state of Wisconsin in certain communities or otherwise?
That's not an area where we've spent time and effort. That's what the big word is, epidemiology, and basically that means there are people who spend their whole lives, their whole careers, looking at very large amounts of data, like insurance claims, people being treated for certain things and diagnoses that come out and things like that. And to try to find those things out. Is it different in this part of the state or that part of the state? And if it is, why is that? Is it something about the people? Is it something about the medical care? Is it the water? I mean, it could be, you know, whatever. And try to sort that sort of thing out. It's a whole science all of its own. And it's really about numbers. It's and analyzing numbers and things like that. So that's not the sort of thing that we would take on. Although they may raise the questions, and then we may be, well, are people who live near swine farms having more respiratory problems? These large swine operations that have, you know, thousands of hogs. You know which way the wind's blowing, and there's at least the question of whether or not people who have asthma or other long-term breathing problems, whether that makes a difference in their health. And so that is the sort of thing that we might, that's not a project we're working on, but it's actually a question that someone posed to us, and we at least looked into it. Could we try to answer that question? Because that, you know, but it all came out of either somebody has a small study or somebody looks at some data and say, you know, maybe there's something here. How do we try to answer that question? And that's where you've got a real world question. You need a real world way of going about trying to find the answer.
Today, when we look at the desire to have affordable health care that's accessible and efficient, does REN help accomplish that goal in Wisconsin?
That is one of the things that we're trying to do. And, for example, the project about care of the elderly is, in fact, trying to look at the efficiency of the visit. And is there a way that we can do a better job of taking care of the multiple issues that occur when many older people have many medical problems, often multiple medications and things like that? Can we do a better job of being prepared for the visit when they come through the door? And does that make a difference in how the patient feels about it, how the doctor feels about it, what things get addressed, how many problems get taken care of at that visit? And by doing it in a little bit of a different way, not a radically different way. I mean, the big intervention is calling 2 weeks before and saying, and the nurse asked, what are you going to talk with the doctor about? What are the issues and what are the problems that need to be addressed? And then trying to be sure that all the information for the doctor that they would need to address those questions or those problems is available at their fingertips. And so that's really the intervention, rather than the traditional way, which is patient calls, makes an appointment, tells the receptionist one thing, usually the worst thing that they're concerned about, but doesn't necessarily they don't know about all of the things that are the patient is worried about, and then patient walks through the door, and then the doctor has to find out all those other things, or the nurse does, and may or may not have all the information at their fingertips to be able to address it right then and there. And so that's, can we be more efficient What are the outcomes from that? Patient satisfaction, doctor satisfaction, stress levels, how much work gets done? Is it better? We'll find out.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Sometimes we're most apt to tell the receptionist or the nurse the most palatable thing on our menu of concerns.
Yes.
And then when we really get to see the doctor, then the truth be known.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, sometimes it's rather than a menu, it's more of what we call it, the laundry list. Where literally, there's a piece of paper with six or eight things or 10 or 12 things, and there's not enough time or things like that. Or the information is not readily available. And so hopefully we can... We'll see. Trying to define that ahead of time a little bit more carefully, does that make a difference?
I know, Andy, thinking about, Carl's message about, recognizing the difficult economic times and the medical center holding the line on office calls and so forth, I want to give you a chance to respond to that same question about using means to be efficient, to be affordable, to be accessible.
Yes. So I think one of the most important things with regard to that is now we work as a team. And that team is composed of physicians, it's composed of nutritionists, it's composed of nurse practitioner. And in the case of the study for the elderly, it was designed by an industrial engineer, right? And
really?
So these are collaborations that you're going to see more and more of. And I think that's going to speak to lower cost and safer care because I do something very well. I guess the analogy one could use is if you're building a house, you have a general contractor. And while there's many things the general contractor can do, if that general contractor's not a roofer, you probably want someone who really knows their roofing. And the same is true in medicine. If I can take care of most of a patient's needs, but I'm not very good at motivating them, maybe I'll get a therapist or a counselor involved. Or if my office flow is, I'm good at what I do, but I only see 10 patients a day, then I need a little help in getting my office flow improved. And that's where we work as a team. Patients consistently rate me very good, but all their cholesterol levels are really high and not very good. I probably need a little help from somebody pushing me towards helping them do that. And so I think team medicine is going to help people be safer and actually cost less.
For people who are thinking, okay, there's the survey, do people remain confidential in those surveys with the information they provide, Andy?
Yes, and that's a general principle we can speak to. So the answer is absolutely yes. These are confidential. In fact, I don't know the survey results. I don't see them. They go into a sealed envelope. And then anytime any research project takes place, it has to go before IRB, which is that internal review board, or is it investigational?
Institutional.
Institutional.
It's basically an ethics committee. So any project that Ren does and any researcher does, we have to write that all out and it's given to the ethics committee. They review it. They make sure that confidentiality is assured and that any risks that are involved, that the patient is aware of that. And some projects we need to actually get what would be called informed consent. So there's a process where we write this document, try to make it understandable to people, and then a research assistant would, someone who's interested in participating in that project that requires informed consent, would sit down with them, go over what's going to happen, what the risks might be, whether or not what would happen if they chose to participate, what would happen if they chose not to participate, and be sure that they understand before they say, yes, I want to be involved. That's really, really important if you have cancer and they're trying a new cancer treatment on you. Cause you might get hurt. You might die because of some complication from this brand new medication. We don't do those kind of projects. So the kinds of things that we're doing, since it's more about practice care and process and things like that, the risks are usually, someone might learn about your medical condition that you might not want to do that. And we're really careful about, REN staff would only look at the information that they absolutely need to look at to be able to do this particular project. They know they're not to look at other parts of the patient record if they're, doing a chart review sort of thing. And anything that's written down, we separate the patient's name or any kind of identifier, a medical record number or something like that is separated in a way that And if someone else might look at it, they wouldn't be able to tell whose information it is. So, we're extremely careful about that. Our REN staff come out to Richland Center and help them with projects. And part of what they do is be sure that they understand what the ethics are and that we're enrolling patients and that they're interacting with them in a way that is acceptable to the ethics committee. And so, we help assure that, that the research is being done right. So, that's paramount. That's the most important thing is to do it in a way that protects the patients from any potential harm, and or at least make it as small a possibility as we can make it, and then try to do the good things mm-hmm. that we want to come out of it.
Just a couple of minutes left, Andy. I have to wonder, there's been lots of promotion by the Richland Medical Center in knowing your family's medical history. You know, what did my dad have? What did my grandma have? And so forth. As I'm listening to all of this, it seems like this is the next step. Maybe I can't interview everyone in Wisconsin. I can know about my family. But my family is fellow Wisconsinites, it seems, can be well served by the Wisconsin Research and Education Network.
Yes, I think, we're getting answers to questions now that are going to affect the Wisconsin family. And you also hit on something that's very important in terms of family medicine and knowing your patients. And this allows for sort of that exchange of information where I'm learning to know Wisconsin better and I know your family. And so then I say, okay, how is this going to affect you as a person? And what do I need to do to help you? And you're right. It's going to improve that knowledge.
Paul, anything you'd like to add in conclusion on behalf of REN?
I think the most important thing, two things. I really want to thank Andy and the folks at Richland Center, the clinicians, the doctors, the physician assistants, nurse practitioners, the people that are seeing the patients, as well as the administrators and all the support staff who participate in the projects. Without them, there would be no REN. We wouldn't be able to do these things. And then the other people to thank is the patients. And they are so cooperative. It's very unusual, actually, when a family physician or one of their staff asks a patient to participate in one of our projects. The patients often will comment that they like the sense of giving back. They receive so much from their doctor. They appreciate so much what the staff and the physicians do for them, that this is a way that they can contribute, not just to the knowledge in that, but they can give back to their doctor and to the medical center a little bit as well. So without the patients' willingness to participate, without the doctors and the staff willing to participate, we wouldn't exist. And so I would thank them for being willing to help us and gain new knowledge. And hopefully it's everyone wins in the situation. That's really the long-term goal.
Nice to meet you and great to have you on the program, Paul. Best wishes to you and those that you work with.
Thank you.
And Andy, when someone comes to see their doctor at the Richland Medical Center, if they're asked to do a survey, you know, based upon what we've talked about this morning, you'd love to have us say, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, and I would hope that we can pass on the vision, and that vision is you're not only helping your own health, you're helping the health of your whole community and your whole state, and that's a good thing.
Thanks for giving us this privilege, Andy. Nice to have you on the air. Doctors Andrew Wright and Paul Smith have been our guests on the program today. If you'd like more information, certainly the Richland Medical Center can provide that. You could also, in your search engine, enter the Wisconsin Research and Education Network and read about it online. If you have other questions about REN, that would also be a great source of information. Thanks for listening. The Morning Show returns tomorrow.